Thank you, Nick. Well, good morning. Always hard to kind of listen to those kind words from your son, but I get a little payback today, so that's okay. I do appreciate it, and yeah, just very blessed to have the children we have and your pastor, obviously. But I got to tell you, I am charged up this morning. And, you know, we're just freshly back from Lancaster, California, as Josh had shared with you. And it was hot. You know it's hot when you get off the plane in Spokane. It's 91 degrees, and I'm looking for a jacket. That felt cool. You know, and it's kind of one of those mind things. You just go, hey, it's 91, Don, just settle down. And you can apparently take control of those thoughts. So that's part of some of the message today. But, you know, we attended what's called the Spiritual Leadership Conference. And they name it that, but we call it, or I call it, a spiritual gas station. You pull in there to get filled up. You know, some people come in maybe running on fumes. Some come with their tank half full. Others might come and their tank's full, but it's with old, stale gasoline. And what they do is they feed you the Word of God and the preaching through like those aviation hoses, almost like a fire hose. It's just whoosh, and they start filling you up, and they fill you up, and pretty soon it pushes out all that ugly old stale fuel, and you got high octane gas. And you got rocket fuel. And that's how I feel this morning. I just might take off. You got to watch out. But did you ever take it? I remember as a kid and even as an adult, you get the old bucket and it's got mud and silt and slime and you stick in that garden hose and turn it on and what happens? It bubbles up all that slime and mud and pretty soon it flows out of the bucket, right? And what's left is nice, pure, clean water. We're so blessed in Spokane to have water we can drink out of the tap, let me tell you. But anyway, it's that. I want you to hold on to that picture. We're going to come back to it later. But Father's Day, wow. You know, if you've come here for a while, you know I'm always fond and asked to preach of quoting Matthew 3:17, referring to the pastor. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, asking me to preach on Father's Day, maybe not so much. You know that? I have to temper that a little bit. And, you know, seriously, it's a good thing I got filled up with high-octane fuel. That'll keep me going. But when he first asked me, my first thought was actually a selfish one. Going, what do you mean for Father's Day? I'm your father, right? Took a little while, maybe 10, 15, I think, you know, he's a father too. And one that's much busier and more demands on his time than me. In fact, we've made a big deal lately of me being retired. So it's kind of like, how can I argue against taking some of that time and especially after a conference to preach for him on Father's Day? Of course, then you come down and even like today, you know, he asks you to do that. And between his prayer and the announcements and sharing, he's already preached the message. So, you know, if I could just probably throw these away and we could go home filled already. But I'm gonna carry on anyway. So, but Father's Day, it can be a tough topic, I know. And that's part of the fear. You know, you're always afraid, as Josh shares, to get up here and preach the Word of God. But Father's Day especially can be a difficult message for many. Because one thing we all have in common this morning is that we came to be via an earthly father. Now, maybe we didn't know him. Maybe we grew up with zero. Or maybe, like Pastor Jamie shared yesterday at the men's breakfast, he grew up with four. You know, that's not all that uncommon nowadays. And there's just so many emotions, so many memories, many unpleasant ones that can be brought to mind. Yet, I think it's an important topic for us as Christians, as a church, that we can bring up and teach and talk about fatherhood. It has been shown that our relationship with our earthly fathers can impact, perhaps especially hinder, our perception and thus our acceptance of the Holy Father. You know, in my own case, my father had a certain way of putting it. You probably heard before. He had a little different take on it. Basically, it was, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. No, but in my case, it was done with love. And that correction with love, I think, actually helped me later in life to accept the love of the Heavenly Father, the one that really is responsible for bringing me into this life and one that can take me out. And I think because of that perception I had with the Father growing up, that it was almost easier for me to do than I'm sure some of you. And it's just that effect that fathers can have. They call him Father, so our mind goes to Father, but my Father-like. Now, there's always exceptions to rules, obviously, but in generals, moms are moms. They're mothers, right? They evoke usually the feelings of compassion and just loving and caring. You know, you see the sports stars, they hold up a sign, hi mom, hardly ever, hi dad. You know, and they do a shout out to their mothers. And, you know, that's appropriate. I think the moms have the hard work. They love us through everything. Some of you are hard to love. You know, mothers though, they just do that. As fathers, we get a little leeway in that way, but you know, I remember right after we were saved and going to a marriage seminar and raising kids seminars. We did several of those. But one thing that I just remember just jumping out at me, I think it might have been Gary Smalley, if you know that name. But it was like, us men bear the responsibility for how our kids turn out, was his message. I thought, whoa, that is a heavy burden. You know, they place that responsibility squarely on the father's shoulders. You know, it's kind of like men, we're to blame. You know, and that's a tough thing to think of. But we can just say ouch and move on and do what we can. I wish that wasn't so. I really do. But after all, God calls us to be the head of the family. That's a very scriptural concept, that the men to be head of the family. And sometimes mothers find themselves in situations where they have to try to be both mother and father. How do you win at that? Well, hopefully we might learn today how we can at least get started at surviving that kind of responsibility. We just watched that alarming video, Fathers, You Are Vital. It shows the shocking statistics of a fatherless homes. But just stop and think about if we could add to those statistics, I'm sure, and by adding in the very poor fathers that are still in the home. Wow, that gets even scarier to something already scary. Earthly fathers, worldly fatherhood can cause so much damage. And I am truly sorry about that. But you see, all us earthly fathers are flawed. You know, we're born with a sin nature. We are flawed. That is the truth. But it's always been that way. If you go back through the Bible, in just a brief look through 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles and so much in the Old Testament, you see the flaws of fathers. Jacob, you know, Israel, 12 sons by 4 different wives. And, you know, 11 of them tried to kill one and ship him off. And just fatherhood is a tough thing. And one of my heroes, David, you think of David, one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. You know, maybe possibly the greatest general that ever lived. He was a hero of our faith. And yet, he had trouble with his sons. One of them even tried to kill him. Kind of hard to imagine, but it's always been a tough struggle for fathers. Yet, he had some success. I had success with Josh. He had Solomon, possibly the wisest man that ever lived. And yet, that even came as a result of his sin with Bathsheba. So God can take circumstances and different relationships and do great things with it. And that's what us fathers need to try to do. And then I haven't done an actual count, but just recently going through the Bible again, and you read about some of those, many of the kings and the generations and their sons that become king and their sons. And, so many of those kings had sons, it says, that did evil inside of the Lord. You know, some kings were evil and had sons do evil as well. I haven't done the actual count, but it seems to me that the evil was passed on even more than the ones that did right. I'm thinking it's about two to one that the sons end up doing evil. It's the sin nature, even back then. Some, however, were evil, but had sons that did right. Even Ahab, one of the evilest kings ever, had an evil wife, Jezebel, and had evil sons. You know, I just jumped out at him. He had 70 sons. And I don't know if there's a one of them that didn't do evil. They end up getting killed off fairly quick. But he obviously had that by multiple wives. You know, not even Jezebel could give birth to 70 kids, I don't think. You know, and, I think, at least I haven't done that. But, you know, I've read articles where some of these sports heroes brag about sleeping with hundreds of women. You know, and it's like nothing new under the sun. We think, well, maybe I haven't done that, or I don't think about that, but are we into pornography? Are we looking at other women? Are we doing things that these evil kings used to do physically? I mean, it should give us pause and think about what we did. Even evil Ahab eventually had grandchildren or great-grandchildren who did right in the eyes of God. What a blessing to know we can break out of that pattern. We can break out of our own patterns. That's what God's enabling is about, helping us to change what's gone on. My father, fortunately, I was blessed with a great father. He was a little All-American football player from Whitworth back in the day, back when before face mask, and I've talked to some of the players that played against him, and they say he could have probably been one of the greatest running backs in history. He set several records just until a couple years ago. He had the longest touchdown record on a kickoff, 96 yards or something. Until a few years ago, he had the 100-yard dash record at Libby Junior High School. To think that was over 80 years ago, he set in some of these records that have stood that long. That's pretty exciting. Yet, he gave up a dream, I'm sure, of playing pro football. He got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. And played football. Why did he do that? Because my mother was pregnant with their first child, my brother. Fortunately, I can blame him, not me. But even more importantly, he was a wonderful dad. He was involved in our lives. He was caring. He was moral. He taught us to respect others, to have correct priorities, making wise choices. Indicative of that was him choosing to get a job, become a teacher, and help my mother raise the children. But just when I was 14 years old, 3 weeks shy of my 15th birthday, he fell over dead from a heart attack. So I lost a wonderful, loving father basically at the age of 15. Well, not a day I don't miss that, and just think of what a wonderful relationship we might have today in that. And I remember the first year or two after his passing, especially teenagers, you'd hear the other kids complaining about their dads or their parents. You know, he won't let me watch Star Trek. You know, and just stuff like that. And I remember just feeling so angry. I just wanted to yell, at least you have one. At least you have one. But then I learned to temper that as I got older, because you get older and you become more aware. And I found out there were several kids that did not have good fathers. Maybe they didn't have a father at all in the home. And then so I eventually just came to know I was truly blessed, even though it was for far too short a time, that I had a great dad, one that could give me just good example, a good role model. And again, even if it was for a short time, I could look back on that. Maybe you had a father that made you feel worthless, rejected. Maybe he abandoned you in your family. Maybe he even physically abused you. If you had one of those, I'm truly sorry. Maybe you, like me, have lost a dear father, maybe even recently. Maybe you're dealing with a father now, although he is present, you are seeing more of his flaws and his shortcomings. I'm quite sure that whether you're here today, whether you're watching and listening from home on live stream, and certainly if you're one of the teens in the balcony, we fit in one of those categories. How do I know that? Well, earthly fathers are flawed. We are flawed. I wish it wasn't so, but it's true. But no matter what category you fit in and what flawed father you deal with, I have good news for you this morning. You have, or can have, a heavenly Father.
Amen.
There is a Father in heaven that unconditionally loves you and wants to be your Father. Your personal, perfect Father. Wow.
Amen.
Losing my earthly father left what I described as a hole in my heart. That's just how it felt. Really, I think it was a hole in my spirit. Perhaps your personal experience has left that type of hole, a sense of loss or hurt or disappointment in your heart. In my case, I was not looking to fill that hole. In fact, I didn't even want to try to. I was pretty happy with my memories of my father. In fact, one of my lasting regrets was telling my mom, "Don't even think about getting remarried." And she didn't. You know, but then I up and leave home. I go off to college, get married, build a life, and then I look at my mom and go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Mom." And I apologize to her. Even tried to do a little matchmaking later. But, you know, it's just kind of being unfair to her. But that hole was there. But guess what? When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and invited Him into my life, that hole was instantly filled.
Amen.
And it wasn't just filled, it was filled to overflowing. And I tried to explain that to my brother. And then, you know, and in his mind, he actually accused me of trying to fill the hole by just going along with religion. And, you know, I just, one of those, I'm still working on him today, because that was not the case. I was not looking. But all of a sudden, I felt totally whole again, or even beyond whole. I was blessed with two wonderful fathers. I have two very close, beloved family members. As Josh shared, Heather is one of them. Kathy is the other. And they had different but still miserable situations with their earthly fathers. They had sad things. One was a child, one is an adult. And I know that they felt that emptiness. They felt that hole that gets left by whatever went on with their father. But I've now seen how their relationship with their heavenly Father has restored them to having a full life and a wonderful spirit. He has enabled them to become wonderful, loving wives and mothers. God wants that for all of us this morning. He wants that restoration that only He can give us. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank You for the Heavenly Father. Lord, that You come and You just want us to be Your sons and daughters. What an honor, what a privilege. I pray, Lord, that You'd Help me to get out of the way. You know, it's not a fun thing to be up here. We just want you to speak to your people. They came to hear from you, not from me. I pray that be so in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. All right, you've already stood for the reading of God's Word, so I won't ask you to do so again. But if you turn again with me to the book of John, chapter 14. We read together the last few verses of that chapter. But I want you to back up to the very beginning of the chapter. And let's start out by reading together verses 1 through 3. John 14, beginning in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wonderful words of promise. And especially take note of that, receive you unto myself. We're going to look at that again in a different scripture in just a minute. But first, number one in your outline is focus on the Heavenly Father. Focus on the Heavenly Father. He is going to prepare a mansion for us with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Christian, this earth is not our home. Heaven is our home. What a joyous thought. No matter how great, how good, maybe just okay, or even how terrible our home or our home life is on earth, we all get our own mansion in heaven. And it's with Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now that should be pleasant to think about. And it is important to remember. Amen? Can we all remember that? Agree that that's important to remember? That's what much of the message on joy that the pastor's been preaching in his latest series. To keep that joy, the joy we're going to have of spending eternity with Him. What a truly wonderful promise. Eternity with Jesus in heaven forever. Wow. Wow. If you're not excited about that this morning, check your pulse. Or maybe you're not sure that you're spending eternity there. Please, if that's the case, see me after the service, or you know, let me or someone show you how you can be sure of getting there and spending eternity with your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only our Creator, glory. He's not only our Savior, hallelujah. But even more than that, He is our Father. Praise God. He is our Father. Letter A, God wants to be and is our Heavenly Father. He wants to be and is our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18 says this. I've got just the last portion there in your bulletin. But it starts verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then your bulletin picks up the rest. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wow. Once we're saved, we are then separate from the world. Oh, physically, we might still be stuck. We are still stuck in this earthly world. But once we turn to God, He will treat us differently. Again, that phrase, I will receive you. In reality, He's taking us in. He's adopting us into His family. In verse 18, He will be our Father. Wow. We will be his sons and daughters. We get some wonderful privileges that come with that, Christian. Last week in our adult Bible study class, we again heard it this week at the conference. We all too often live below our privileges. He's given us some wonderful privileges. For some reason, we choose to live below that. And the promises that the Holy Spirit gives us. People, why would we choose not to take full advantage of the gift and the privileges he grants us? It's one area where we're allowed to be selfish. Gobble up all those gifts, those promises. We like gifts, you know, and sometimes we're made to feel bad about liking that. But this is one we can feel God wants us to give us that. He has given us that. One of the greatest privileges is letter B. He wants an intimate relationship with us. He wants an intimate relationship with you. Intimate means close. Closer than close. It's like becoming one flesh. Look at Galatians 4, 6 and 7. There in your bulletin. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Just this week in Lancaster, again, we heard a wonderful message that included just this topic. A servant may be like a son or like a daughter. They may live in the household. They may be with the family. They may eat the same food. And possibly they might even enjoy the relationship. But also, maybe they are a slave, mistreated by their earthly master. Good or bad situation, slave or child of our earthly fathers. But look what God promises us. In these verses, he sends his Spirit into our hearts, inside our very being. You can't get any more intimate than that. That's how close he wants to be. It's filling whatever hole we might have in our hearts, known, maybe even unknown. He takes up residence inside. It's impossible to get more intimate than that. You cannot get any closer. And even more, the Spirit gives us a heart cry back to him. Abba, Father. Abba is another word for Father, but it implies a greater intimacy than just Father. This is intimate. I like to think of it literally as Daddy. Daddy, Father. Had a little discussion with Jamie. He kind of switched those. That's England. We left England, right? And we talked to Jamie, and he gets it. You know, he had more trouble saying Father than Dad. But here it's kind of like Daddy. I got a wonderful text from my daughter this morning. 36 years old, and then Daddy. You know, I'd be heartbroken if she didn't call me Daddy. Are we breaking God's heart? Abba, Father, Daddy. Abba's another word for Father, kind of a repeat. But it implies a greater intimacy. And it's quite likely, or we know Jesus used that name for his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's quite likely that's the word he used on the cross when he cried out, Abba, Father. It doesn't matter if we're in a good or bad situation on earth. But we are no longer a servant. We're now a son or a daughter that has become an heir of God. Hallelujah. We're an heir of God. You know, some of the older young ladies, or is it younger, older ladies? I better stick with younger ladies. Mama didn't raise no dummy. Amen? But these sweet young ladies here in church have taken to calling me Daddy Don. You know, that's nice. And I love them for doing that. But guess what? I am not building them a mansion. You know, maybe that's it, dear. They're after the inheritance. And I'm happy to share my inheritance in heaven with them. I hope our mansions are next door. Amen. you know. And anyway, we'll let God build that and take care of them. Because yes, we are getting that mansion. And where is it at? In God's own neighborhood. Wow. You know, I like living next door to my kids. A lot of you are familiar with that situation. I really do. It's just great to be living. But I do notice things, messes they might leave. Lawns that don't get mowed. Weeds that don't get pulled. You know, bite your tongue, dear. That's okay. But there's none of that in heaven.
That's right.
Jesus is in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Glory. Hallelujah. Focus on him. Focus on him. Number two in your outline is fill your mind with praise. Fill your mind with praise. Now we're going to take a look at a longer section here, verses 4 through 28. And it's long, so maybe this first time through, just listen. Don't try to read along and figure it out. I just encourage you to just to get a sense of what Jesus is saying to his disciples. It's a discussion with them. And thus, he's saying it to us this morning. Don't try to figure it out all this first time through. Take it in and enjoy it. This passage is so great at explaining the Trinity, something we all have trouble doing so. And you'll notice the disciples' human reactions and questions, which are so like ours. Just like our questions we might have. So John 14, 4 through 28, I'll just read it fairly quickly. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now you sayest, show us the Father? I'll get back there. Okay. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask, shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will again come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Wow. I hope just reading through those verses or listening to those, you get the sense and you actually see that the Trinity is one. The Father, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, they're all totally in agreement. And in fact, they are one and the same. You know, disciples had trouble understanding. Maybe we have trouble, but it's true. 1 John 5:7, there in your bulletin, tells us, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Now the Word, John 1:1 tells us the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word what? Became flesh. Became Jesus Christ. The Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Praise God. Praise God. And then we praise him because of letter B. He is with us now. He's with us now. Let's go back through several of these verses if you want to look in. I'll have you skip around some. But it says in verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And then skipping down a bit, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Notice that intimacy we just spoke about. They're one flesh. They're in there together. Skipping down to verse 16. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He sends the comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us today. He's there now, and it is God the Father, and it is Jesus Christ. Verse 17 goes on to say, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Intimacy. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 20, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Wow. We're all close. We're intimate with God. Praise God. Go down to verse 25. These things I have spoken unto you, yet being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In verse 28, if you love me, he would rejoice. Wow. He's with us now. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah. Number three in your outline, follow Jesus. Let's look at verses 26 through 31. We'll back up and cover a couple of them again that we're repeating. Well worth repeating. John 14, beginning in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, you know, we get worldly gifts and they get broken, destroyed, lost. Not Jesus' gift, his gift of peace. We're getting his peace that he gives us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. This is one of his last major teaching moments, and they took off for the garden and to the cross. Verse 31. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The title of our message this morning, Arise and Go Hence. So in all that, we see in letter A, rejoice. Rejoice. In verse 27, he gives us peace and tells us not to be afraid. We can be joyful in that. Verse 28 follows. That should be easy. Verse 28, if you love me, ye would rejoice. If we love him, we won't be afraid. And we will remember those things. That gives us a cause to rejoice. Just as told to us in John 16:22, there in your bulletin. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. The joy Pastor preaches about. No man can take that from us. He's given us joy and reason to rejoice. We will indeed have mansions in eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor's series on having joy that overcomes has been so instructive on keeping that joy. If you've missed any, I'd urge you to go online and catch back up. Maybe listen to them again. Maybe listen to them again and again. Hold on to that joy. Letter B, Jesus instructs us. Instructs us. Whew. Running out of time quick. Josh always does that. He preaches my sermon there, but that's how. Letter B, Jesus instructs us. Obviously, the Bible is filled with instruction, even commandments for us. I found a couple just in Proverbs 4 alone, instructing us to listen to our Heavenly Father's instructions. There in your bulletin, Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. In other words, you want understanding? Pay attention. Attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. There again, dear old mom, their job is to love us. Like it might have been the tough job, the hardest job. But it says, beloved only in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. And then Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words. Pay attention. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Froward's an old word. It means disobedient, disrespectful. Put that froward mouth away. And perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In other words, as we follow Jesus, focus on him and his pathway. As we've talked often, there's ditches on both sides of the path. Safer on the path. You know, it seems like one of the hardest things for men to do is to apologize. Asking for directions is number two. Some men might switch those. But here today, there is some number less than half. Half of us that are tuning in today that are or will be fathers. Not, some aren't fathers yet, and some aren't, obviously, The ladies are not fathers. So somewhere less than half. Just now, for the next 1 or 2 minutes, I want to speak to the Christian fathers here today, including those at home. And then we'll come back to the rest of you. But some of us, if not all of us, may need to apologize for not being the Father, the Abba, that God has called us to be. We are flawed. After all, we all fall short of God's glory. I appreciate Josh's kind words, but I can tell you, I'm flawed and made many mistakes. I can apologize for that, because we can and we should try to be better. The apology may go something like this: son, daughter, I am sorry that I wasn't always, if maybe never, the father I should have been. I want to ask for your forgiveness. I understand that you have reason to be mad or even dislike me and maybe even not want to talk to me again. But I want you to know that I am trying, with God's help, to change. His word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Today, I am a new man in Christ, my child, and I am trying by God's grace to be a better man, to be a better father. But regardless of how you're going to feel about me, I especially want you to know that you too can have a perfect heavenly father. A father that loves you more than I ever could. One that makes no mistakes. One that completely fills the emptiness in your heart that I may have helped place there. I pray that even if you can't forgive me, that you will accept his forgiveness and his love for you. Now back to the rest of us here today. After all, we are all sons and daughters of someone. I would add that we might need to attribute those words of apology to our own fathers, even if they were been unspoken. Sometimes, all too often, I'm afraid, it's just as hard to accept of an apology as to give one. You know, at least I hope you know that our pastor preaches to us every Sunday to equip us, encourage us, and to challenge us. The goal is not to tickle our ears. 2 Timothy, in fact, warns us about having itching ears. Ears that just want would then turn away from the truth and from sound doctrine if we don't hear what we want to hear. Oh, if you're not receiving the preaching because they're not tickling your ears, you might say, I'm out of here. Well, I'm sorry, but we need to give you sound doctrine. Yes, we want you to hear, to give you sound doctrine. But the goal is to help you become more like Jesus. The last instruction towards that end may just be the single biggest step you can personally take towards being like him. One giant step that can truly help you towards that all-important goal of becoming more like Jesus. That step is, letter C, forgive. Forgive. Now, don't shut down. Before I lose you, please note that I am not saying forget. How many times have we heard, well, you just don't know that this, or you don't understand what I've been through. First of all, I do understand that forgetting is likely impossible and maybe not even wise. Some things we should remember. And I am convinced that only when we are truly like Jesus are we likely to get to forget completely. Possibly only in heaven. But certainly when we do get there, we will forget. After all, there's no more tears in heaven. Amen? At that point, we will have forgotten. Perhaps only Jesus can do that on earth. Hebrews 8:12 does tell this, us, about Jesus. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Wow. I am certainly glad for my own selfish sake that he forgets my sins. It's just so wonderful to think that he blots out my sin, that he forgets. Did you ever stop to think, no matter what your father maybe has done to you or has done, if he received the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus has forgotten those. Wow. That's kind of a sobering thought I had just this morning, that, you know, he might remember things that I did wrong, but Jesus doesn't. And he didn't remember the things about my father. A challenging thought. Most probably the very hardest thing to do, especially on the issue of dealing with our feelings, our emotions, and our hurts that have to do with our earthly fathers, is to forgive. A hard thing to do. I understand that. Maybe it is to forgive them. Possibly it's to forgive ourselves. Maybe we haven't been the father that God, Abba Father, has been. We need to forgive ourselves. God's holy word commands us to do so. I don't want to belabor the point this morning, so from amongst the many, many verses, I share just this one that is in your bulletin, Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. If you have aught against Don, if you have aught against Vern, if you have aught against anybody, aught against me, as ye stand praying, forgive. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. He's forgiven us. Throughout Scripture, Jesus plainly instructs us to forgive. Why is that? Well, first and foremost, I think, is to make us more like him. Wow, if I can take that giant step by forgiving towards being closer to Jesus, I want to take that step. Second, it really is for our own good, our own well-being. We've talked often how it hurts, how hurts not forgiven can lead to bitterness. Acts 8:23 warns us of being stuck in the gall of bitterness and thus in the bond of iniquity. And Ephesians 4:31 instructs us to put away all bitterness and wrath and anger, along with evil speaking and harmful thoughts. Put it away by the best way, the quickest way. Forgive. Forgive. But how do we do that? It's so hard. And in our own power, it is not only hard, it's probably nigh on impossible. I'll grant you that. None of us are strong enough in our own power. So let's recap our lesson this morning. First, focus on our Heavenly Father and fill our minds with praise. Think of that awaiting mansion. Think of the unparalleled joy that we're going to have and that we can have. And then follow Jesus. Get help from God's Word first. Just like filling up that tank or that dirty old bucket, let the wonderful Word of God just fill us up to overflowing, leaving pure, clean water. Get rid of that old stale fuel, our feelings that we harbor in our minds. Fill them with praise. You know, I am just okay with some self-help books. Just okay. Some are okay. And I've done some and enjoyed them. But as I said this week in Labs, Lancaster, if you have a help book in one hand written by a human author, you better have this book in the other hand at the same time. I like that visual, you know. I'm all for winning friends and influencing people. Amen? You want to win a friend and influence somebody? Lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget my friend John B, I'll call him, that took the time and the effort to lead me to Jesus Christ. Talk about winning a friend. Talk about influence. Wow, I'm going to have an eternity to thank him. You know, I've done it several times, and I don't mind thanking him. Praise God, he took the time and effort to do that. You want to overcome your struggles? I'm all for that. Let's overcome our struggles. You know, it might be alcohol. It might be some addiction. It might be depression. It might be anger. And the book might have some good tips. It might have some good ideas that we can use. But this book tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Praise God. This book helps us. And Jesus, just as Jesus said to his disciples on the way to the cross, let us arise and go hence. Let's be about our Lord's, our Heavenly Father's business. Let's accept his privileges, his perfect love, accept his intimacy. Let's become more like Jesus. Our heart cry, Abba, Father. Pastor, would you come?
All right, praise the Lord. And all just Lorene, I'll invite you to just come and play, and we'll just have a little time of invitation as we close here. Thank you for that, Dad. That was a challenging message. I appreciate that. And just as Lorene plays, let's just invite you to just take a moment here before we close the service. If you want to just bow your head and close your eyes and talk to the Lord a little bit and just give you a moment to do this business with God here as we wrap the service here on Father's Day. I don't know what it is that the Lord maybe wanted to say to you, but I know that God wanted to say something to each and every one of us. I wrote down a couple of notes. There were a few points in there that I know the Lord was speaking to me, so I'm always grateful for that when God has something to say to me. Let me just say, if you're here this morning and you don't know what it means to have God as your Heavenly Father, but what a great thing on Father's Day to have that be true. We're not against churches that do altar calls. I'm for it. We do that occasionally here. But I would just say to you that today the Lord's speaking to your heart. If you're not sure that God's your Heavenly Father, you don't know that. Maybe a lot of this message, my dad was into some heavy stuff there, the Trinity and different relationships and all that. And you, listen, if you're here this morning, you're sitting here thinking, boy, a lot of that went right over my head. That's okay, but what about the part about God being your Father? Is that something you're sure about, that you know what that means? Because if you don't know what that means, I'm telling you, that's the whole ball game. That's what this is about. You don't have to be a servant of God's. You can be a son. You can be his daughter. If I could just beg you not to leave here today without getting a hold of a Christian and a Bible, we love to do that here. We'll sit with you at lunch or here in the sanctuary or wherever. We'll show you right from the Bible how you can know that you've been adopted into God's family. Listen, the Lord speaking to you about that. Could you make a decision to not leave today without getting that cleared up? Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're one of those on one side of the forgiveness. You need to call and ask somebody for forgiveness. Or you need to give it. Maybe like me, you've been in a position where you've thought, well, they don't deserve it. And you're probably right. I've heard some of your stories, and I know you're right. Sometimes forgiveness is the most powerful when the person doesn't deserve it. The freedom in forgiveness is for the forgiver. The Lord's speaking to you about that. Would you just do business with him? Doesn't matter what I think or anybody else here thinks. What does God think about it? You can use this time of quietness right now to talk to him about it. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's a hole because of your father, a hole because of one of your kids. You say, Lord, I need your help. There's a big hole. But God's in the restoration business. That's what he does. He gives life to things that are dead. He takes things that are ugly and he makes them beautiful. We're going to sing in just a moment. Before we do that, you do a little business with God. However he's speaking to you. And talk to your Heavenly Father.